Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. No matter your church background, know that Grace Church is a welcoming place for you to grow in your faith. Drawing on the deep roots of the ancient church and the inclusive, generous spirit of the Episcopal Church, we seek to foster a faith for the complexities of modern life. We welcome you to visit us at www.graceyukon.org to learn more about our opportunities for worship, fellowship, service, and growth.
This summer, Tim and I went with a few friends, our quarantine buddies, to Colorado for a little getaway. It was Grace and Jaron Hill and another couple. You can get a picture of us there. And one day, we decided to go hiking in the national park. Now, I, for one, am not in the best shape of my life, but I love hiking and I love just being in the mountains. So we picked a trail that said easy to moderate. It was a few miles in a loop with waterfall and a beautiful scenery. We had the map on our phone, packed some water bottles and snacks, and off we went. It was absolutely breathtaking. Just being in the mountains makes me feel closer to God. And at first, everything was going great. In between being out of breath, we were having great conversation. We took plenty of time to rest and enjoy the scenery. After a good workout, we made it to the waterfall, and it was worth the effort. We took pictures, enjoyed some snacks, and I was ready for the downhill slide. However, as we hiked along, it actually got steeper and more difficult. It wasn't what I expected, but I pressed on. I didn't want to be the weak or the whiny one. And I kept telling myself that we were almost done. And wouldn't that feel good? We'd gone several miles by this point, and surely the end was right around the corner. But around the corner, the trail just kept going. The picture of us just keeping going. And finally, Jaron spoke up. He said he thought we might be headed in the wrong direction. He suggested that we turn around and go the other way at the last fork in the trail. So we looked at the map, and we didn't have a cell signal at this point, but from what we could tell, Jaron was probably right. We turned around and thought, okay, now just a little further. Thankfully, it wasn't long before we ran into some other people, and they looked at us a little puzzled and asked where we were headed. We told them, oh, just a little further to our car, and they kindly informed us that the path we were on led 2,000 feet up to the peak of the mountain, and it was a little late in the day to be doing that. So at this point, we had to admit we were totally lost. We were going to have to backtrack. So after some grumbling and a few choice words, we got going. Now, since I'm here, you know that we didn't die in the woods, but there were some fleeting moments of panic when it felt like a possibility. It was getting dark, we had eaten our snacks, we had drank our water, we were tired and grumpy, and I simply kept thinking, of course, this is how a hike would go in 2020. But we sucked it up, we encouraged each other, and we put one foot in front of the other as we headed back in the direction we had come from. And somewhere along the path, as we were walking along, one of our cell phones chimed. We had a signal. We used the GPS, we found where we were on the map, and we made our way back to the car just as it had gotten dark. It turned out we had gone 2 miles off the path we were supposed to be on, and if it weren't for those nice hikers, we would have gone much further. The reality is, without them, without that blessed GPS signal from on high, we would have been wandering in the dark. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of the past year has felt kind of like that hike. Parts of it have been beautiful and meaningful, but we are exhausted, trying our best to breathe, to put one foot in front of the other, trying not to give up or to be too whiny. And while there are always things we could have done differently, what we really need now is connection to each other and to that divine power on high, because it's the only thing that will get us where we need to be. While some of you may dread this penitential season of Lent, ultimately that's what it's about. Lent is meant to be a time that helps us find our way, that reconnects us to God, to the habits and practices, and to the people who will support and encourage us along our way. The word repent that we hear so often in Lent simply means to change direction, to reorient our lives towards God. It's not meant to be about shame or feeling terrible about ourselves. Rather, it's an acknowledgement that we need God, that we want to turn our lives toward God and God's goodness and love in the world. There are countless things that could get us off our path. Sometimes it's our own poor choices. Sometimes it's simply life circumstances. And I think most often it's a combination of the two. And it's easy to just keep going, to think, but just dig in and keep going, everything will be okay. But this is why we need the season of Lent. It asks us to stop, to look around, to do a gut check of where we are and where we want to be, to seek help from those around us, and ultimately to seek God and God's direction for our lives. Some of the Lenten traditions are intended to help with this. One of the most common ones is to give something up in Lent, to do a fast. It could be from chocolate or coffee, favorite TV show, it could really be anything. And now, this practice isn't meant to deprive us of joy, to make us suffer. It's not a test of whether your faith is strong enough. Rather, giving something up is meant to direct us towards God, to disrupt our lives a bit, our daily routines, so that when you reach for that coffee or that alcohol or that mindless Facebook scrolling, you remember that the mug or glass or app is gone. It's a moment to remind yourself of your need for God and to be mindful of God's grace in your life. Often, instead of giving something up, people take on a new spiritual practice in Lent. It can be anything from spending more time in prayer or journaling to joining a book study or volunteering in the community. And again, it's meant to pull us out of our daily routine, direct us towards God and God's grace in our lives. You never know, you may find a practice that you want to continue far beyond the season of Lent. But in many ways, that is the beauty of Lent. It is only a season, 40 days. Most of us can give something up for 40 days, right? It's a little less daunting than a New Year's resolution. And yet there's power in the number 40. It's a holy number. We find it all throughout the Bible, beginning with Noah and the 40 days and nights of rain, with Moses on Mount Sinai for 40 days before he receives the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel wandering for 40 years in the wilderness before entering the Promised Land. And of course, in our gospel reading today, we hear that Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days before beginning his public ministry. The list of the number 40 appearing in the Bible really could go on and on. In fact, I did a quick Google search, and it appears 146 times. So 40 takes on a whole new meaning of its own. It symbolizes a time of testing and difficulty, but ultimately one of growth and transformation. It's a time that draws us closer to God and empowers us for what lies ahead. During those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was pushed to the limit. He was tested physically and spiritually over and over again. Satan tempted Jesus to use his power for self-serving ways, to feed his hunger, to save himself, to rule the world. But Jesus did not give in to that. He resisted, and instead he chose the way of self-giving love, the way of the cross. But Jesus didn't do this alone. He went out in the wilderness right after his baptism, right after God had proclaimed him his beloved son. I imagine those beautiful words still ringing in his ears, grounding him in who he was and who he wanted to be. And it says he was there with the animals, and the angels waited on him. So Jesus was not alone. And as we enter the season of Lent, that's also crucial for us to remember. In our practices, whether it's giving something up or taking something on, it must all be done in the knowledge that we too are beloved children of God. You may have noticed that Lent is 40 days, excluding Sundays. Well, this is intentional. Sundays are always celebrations of resurrection, many Easters, you might say. And so you may, and maybe you even should, take off Sundays from your Lenten discipline. Eat the chocolate, drink the coffee, because again, this isn't meant to be a test of how strong your faith is. It certainly is not a test of your worthiness. because you are God's beloved child already. And the knowledge of that is crucial to the success of your Lenten journey. Ultimately, the journey of Lent is about knowing that we can't do life without God, and knowing that we need that divine connection and guidance in our life. Like a wandering Colorado hike, we need that connection that gives us a higher perspective, that shows us where we need to go and puts us on the right path. Sometimes this can be scary, even when it's God's path, because God might show us issues within ourselves, or a way our perspective about the world should change, that God wants us to wrestle with, just as Jesus wrestled in the wilderness. God may show you places where you literally need to change, to turn around and repent, so that you can embrace more the self-giving love of Jesus. In this way, Lent is a little more disruptive than giving up chocolate and coffee. If God leads you to change your direction, to repent, to challenge your perspective, it may make things feel uncertain. But if we'll let God, God will always lead the way in our Lenten journey. We will not be left wandering alone. Friends, I wish you a holy and blessed Lenten journey, full of the courage to embrace a discipline, a deep connection that you are able to nurture with God, and an openness to where God is leading you as you explore the way of the cross of Jesus. Amen.